The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 4th through Sunday, November 10th, 2024. The commentary for November was written by Jazzy Bostock, a Kanaka Maoli Episcopal priest, farmer, wife, and foster mom. She lives and works in Waianae, Hawaii. The commentary for Monday, November 4th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 51. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. This is one of the hardest gospel lessons for me, says the commentator. It is in a world with so much division. I desperately want Jesus to be our reconciling force, bringing us closer together. And in so many passages, that is what he promises, to bridge divides and repair the breach, to give us a new way of walking through the world with love in our hearts. And yet we can see all around us the truth of Jesus' words in this passage from Luke. The actions he asks us to take spur division. Not everyone will love their neighbor or extend forgiveness or care for the poor. While I long for peace on earth, I know that until we can all fully embrace the way of Jesus, there will be division. My prayer is that we stop separating ourselves from one another and, in so doing, separating ourselves from God and find ways to be the hands and feet of love in the world. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 59. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one households will be divided, three against two and two against three, and they will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Thus, when you go with your accuser before a magistrate, on the way make an effort to settle the case, or you may be dragged before the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. And the moving forward question for this Monday, November 4th, where do you feel division? And what might it look like to wrap that in love? The commentary for Tuesday, November 5th, begins with a passage also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 8. He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig round it and put manure on it." Before I went to seminary, I spent a year working on my mom's organic farm on the Big Island of Hawaii. I learned how to milk cows and goats, plant and harvest vegetables, worm sheep, and butcher chickens. From that experience, I know exactly what the gardener means in this passage. Manure is some of the best fertilizer, offering nutrient-rich, biodynamic soil amendments that trees use to flourish. This passage is a wonderful reminder. If there's an area of your life that feels like it's full of manure, hold steady. Perhaps God is preparing it to bear fruit in the next season. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." And the moving forward question for this day is, Jesus often uses examples of farm life in his parables. What are some of your favorites? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, November 6th. It begins with a passage from Luke 13, verses 12 and 13. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. I can almost taste the relief that this woman must have felt. Doubled over for 18 long years at just the touch of this man, this Jesus, she is healed. I wonder whether her perspective changed once she could look people in the face and not just at their feet. I wonder how her family and friends adjusted to the newness of her body and her capacity. So much of the time it is hard for us to get used to something new, even if that new thing is a miracle and a blessing. It's hard for us to accept change in ourselves and others. And yet, so often in our lives of faith, we ask God to lay hands on us and set us free. All it takes is one touch, one word, one prayer, and we are changed forever. And now I'll read the gospel passage here from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, are you truly ready to change your perspective? The commentary for Thursday, November 7th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 13, verses 20b to 21a. "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast." We hear in today's reading from Luke that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and yeast. In Matthew, the kingdom is like treasure in a field and fine pearls. The kingdom is unexpected and vast, found in ordinary things like a leavening agent. The kingdom doesn't behave like it should. One measure of yeast shouldn't make a dent in 60 pounds of flour, and yet it does. A study by a Harvard political scientist found that it only takes 3.5% of a population to engage in nonviolent resistance to spur powerful political change. That's it. 3 people out of each 100 can make a significant impact. We often think we are too small to make a difference, and yet the kingdom of God is in small things. The small measure of yeast affects and changes all of that flour. So too, we are called as disciples to change the world around us, to do small things with great love, motivated by our love for God. And now I'm going to read chapter from Luke, chapter 13, verses 18 through 30. "He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able." When once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," then in reply he will say to you, "I do not know where you come from." Then you will begin to say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will say, "I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrown out. Then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, how might you be yeast today? The commentary for Friday, November 8th, begins with a passage from Luke, chapter 13, verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Whenever I am reminded that Jesus knew all along that he was going to die, I am astounded. Again and again, Jesus takes up his responsibility and keeps moving toward the cross. I suspect most of us would move as far away from it as we could. The Hawaiian word for responsibility is kuleana. My mom taught me that the word breaks down into ku, which means to stand tall for long, lea, which means joy, and ana, which is a way to demarcate the future. Your responsibility, therefore, means that you stand strong on the shoulders of your ancestors, looking with joy into the future. Jesus gives us a beautiful model to follow of what it looks like to live within your kuleana, within your responsibilities. Even when Jesus is confronted with death, he still has joy and hope for the future, because he knows that death is not the end of the story. And now I'll read the passage from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.' Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what are your responsibilities? How can you live within your kuleana? Now the commentary for Saturday, November 9th, begins with a passage from Luke 14, verses 5 and 6. "Then he said to them, 'If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?' And they could not reply to this." I think this question stumps the Pharisees because they can't fathom the immense love Jesus has for us. And Jesus has this love not just for his disciples or the faithful in his community, but for all people, regardless of their backgrounds or stories. Jesus likens healing a man on the Sabbath to helping a child on the Sabbath. Surely to the Pharisees, a stranger and a child are different, taking different places of importance in our lives, and allowing for different levels of compassion. But to Jesus, they are the same, whether stranger, follower, foe, or other. Jesus loves each one of us as a beloved child. It is an extraordinary thing to be loved like that. Now I'll read the full passage of Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you will start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you should be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And the moving forward question for this Saturday, how can you expand the boundaries of your love today? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to Sunday, November 10th, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Old Testament, the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verse 16. "The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." This story from Kings reminds us that God provides what we need. Elijah meets a widow who has planned to die. She is so desperate for food and so hopeless that it seems like the best option is death. When Elijah hears this, he doesn't condemn her or tell her she doesn't have enough faith. He asks God to help him meet her need for food and water. God gives her a promise that her flour and oil will not run dry for the remainder of the famine. There's not a lot of extravagance in the provisions, just enough to make it through. I wonder how many times I have asked for more than I need. How often have I confused need and want? I am learning that God provides for our needs, but sometimes those needs are simple. Water, oil, flour, enough. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink.' As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' But she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' Elijah said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth.' She went and did as Elijah said. so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Now to conclude the program, I'll read the Gospel for this Sunday, November 10th. It's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, November 10th, where has God provided enough for you? And how might you see the provisions in your life? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.